So BlackRock has just released a new 9-page report about Bitcoin, telling their clients that 0.1 Bitcoin might be enough to make you rich. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but a lot of people commentating on this new BlackRock Bitcoin report are forgetting the two other reports that BlackRock have written about Bitcoin in the past 12 months. And when we combine all of these data points together, I'm going to be showing you the maths of why BlackRock is quietly telling you that Bitcoin is a retirement asset. So this is the new report. Now, we are going to be breaking that down, and we're also going to be looking at the old reports that BlackRock's released about Bitcoin in the past 12 months. One of those being where they told you an 84.9% allocation to Bitcoin was an optimal allocation. And the other report actually came from a closed door meeting where a BlackRock quant suggested a 28% allocation to Bitcoin. Yes, those are the other two reports we're going to be breaking down today, but let's actually begin with the new report, okay? So here it is. We're going to check it out, and I want to break down why I think this is such a big thing and highlight some of the things that I think a lot of people might have missed having a look at this new BlackRock report. So it is titled Bitcoin, a Unique Diversifier. Again, interesting, because a lot of people are saying that Bitcoin is this risk on asset. It's not a diversification strategy. Well, it is. If we have a look at page number 3, BlackRock talks about 4 key points about Bitcoin. And it says, over the long term, Bitcoin's adoption trajectory is likely to be driven by the intensity of concerns over global monetary stability, geopolitical stability, US fiscal sustainability, and US political stability. This is the inverse of the relationship that is generally attributed to traditional risk assets with respect to such forces. So BlackRock has just openly said Bitcoin is a risk-off asset. We believe it's going to continue to perform well when the world is melting down and where there is global instability. Now, that's a big claim. Is there data that BlackRock is looking at that proves this? Funny enough, there is. Let's have a look at some of the data that BlackRock used in this report to justify that very bold claim of saying that Bitcoin is a risk-off asset. This matrix here, this little table that was on the thumbnail of today's video, is actually looking at 6 different events and crises over the past 4 years. And what they've done is they've had a look at the performance of Bitcoin, and they've compared that to the performance of gold, treasuries, and equities. And this little financial matrix, it's a little bit interesting. I think it's incredibly interesting because it's looking at how all of these assets performed in the 10 days following a crisis and the 60 days following a crisis. So we can see here, I'm going to try to make myself as small as possible and make the chart as big as possible. We can see, after the US and Iran escalation in January 2020, best performing asset after 60 days. On the far right of this table at the very top, you can see Bitcoin was up 20% after 60 days. Gold was up 6%. The S&P was down 7%. And you can see, very similar thing 2 months later when we had the Cerveza sickness. We can see Bitcoin up 21% after 60 days. Gold was up 3%. S&P was up 2%. So Bitcoin dramatically outperformed. Let's have a look at the 2020 US elections. This was, again, a little bit of political instability. We can see after 60 days, Bitcoin was up 131%. Gold was down 1%. And the S&P was up 12%. Bitcoin outperformed by a factor of 10x. What about the Russia and Ukraine war in February 2022? Well, 60 days later, after February 2022, Bitcoin was up 15%, gold up 9%, S&P up 3%, and then we had the US regional banking crisis in March of 2023. 60 days later, Bitcoin was up 32%, gold was up 11%, and the S&P 500 was up 4%. So it doesn't matter. That is the data of 6 big financial events. Bitcoin has outperformed everything in the 60-day period after those events. Now, again, caveat, yes, settle down, Luke. Don't be too bullish. Don't cherry-pick those time frames, Luke. It is fair that BlackRock did look at a 10-day period after each of those events. And Bitcoin was the best performing out of four of those six timeframes. So it wasn't the best in every scenario in 10 days after a crisis. We can see Bitcoin greatly underperformed in the March 2020 crash when the world got locked down. Bitcoin down 25% after 10 days. Meanwhile, the S&P was down 20 and gold was down 9. So Bitcoin underperformed for that specific event. So yes, in the very short term, things are a little bit more mixed. Bitcoin's still the best performing asset 10 days after a crisis in four out of the six of those scenarios. But again, I think you got to zoom out a little bit. 10 days isn't a lot of time, okay? And in a lot of these events and crises, Bitcoin is trading over the weekends. So as soon as something happens, everybody risks off by selling Bitcoin because it's the only thing that can be traded over the weekend. So I think that is potentially why Bitcoin's a little bit more volatile in the very short term. But I think 60 days is a good time, you know, time frame to be looking at. That's 2 months worth of data. So I think BlackRock has shown equivocally, Bitcoin is a risk-off asset. It's undeniable. Everybody who says Bitcoin is a speculative risk asset, they're all wrong. The data right here proves that. It is absolutely undeniable. Bitcoin is the best performing risk asset. A lot of people say, oh, but gold, 5,000 years of monetary history of being a safe haven asset. We need more time and more data to see how Bitcoin performs in a crisis. No, you don't. You just have six events right here in the past 4 years of Bitcoin outperforming gold. Embarrassingly outperforming gold. Okay, so that's point number one that I want to cover in this new report. Again, to everyone joining new or joining live, we're going to be breaking down the two other reports that BlackRock has published on Bitcoin, where they said you need an 85% allocation to Bitcoin and a 28% allocation to Bitcoin is not unreasonable. We're going to be crunching the numbers. We're going to be showing you guys why these recent, well, let's say these older reports suggest that 0.1 Bitcoin could make you rich. But let's have a look a little bit further in this new report. Okay, so what makes Bitcoin relevant? Well, BlackRock has three things right here. And what's most interesting is these things that they sourced in their report, they directly cited the Bitcoin white paper, Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash 2008. They pulled these three things that make Bitcoin relevant directly from the white paper. That's a little bit of signal in and of itself. Okay, that's showing you guys, BlackRock has done the work on Bitcoin. They're directly citing Satoshi's white paper. I know a lot of Bitcoiners who have been in Bitcoin for 5 or even 10 years, and they still haven't managed to read the white paper. Yes, I know it can be a little bit complicated. There's a few very confusing things in the white paper that you kind of do need to be a little bit of a computer science nerd to fully understand, but lots of Bitcoiners haven't even read the white paper. BlackRock, they have. They're citing it in their 9-page Bitcoin report that's been shown to millions of their investors. So we can see here, the first thing that makes Bitcoin relevant, prone to inflation and debasement, given a non-fixed supply. Historical challenge around money, and BlackRock says that Bitcoin made possible the idea of a maximum supply of 21 million units with supply growth declining every 4 years. They understand the halving. Two, historical challenge around money. It's difficult to transact around borders. BlackRock says Bitcoin made possible a digitally native and borderless, permitting near instantaneous global transfers of value. Again, this is direct quote from a BlackRock report. Bitcoin's a solution to that. Number three, this historical challenge around money is that its access is limited to one's particular country and it can be controlled by a central authority. BlackRock says that Bitcoin is the first truly open access global monetary system. Do they sound like a Bitcoin maximalist? The world's largest asset manager with over $10 trillion of assets under management is saying things like that? It's pretty bullish. Not going to lie, guys. Incredibly bullish. Let's move on. Bitcoin's path to a $1 trillion market capitalization. Bitcoin has outperformed all major asset classes in 7 out of the last 10 years, leading to an extraordinary return in excess of 100% annualized over the last decade. Look at this. They've even got a little chart. They're showing you guys how well Bitcoin performs in these bull markets. The world's largest asset manager is literally telling everybody, buy more Bitcoin. It's an uncorrelated asset. This is another key finding from the report, another key chart I wanted to show you guys. Bitcoin has exhibited low historical with periods of dislocation. Bitcoin is uncorrelated. Now, here's a big one. This was the one we covered, Bitcoin outperforming in geopolitical events. The only thing I'm going to add to this table is that BlackRock says in most instances, including the recent global market sell-off in August 5th, 2024, when the Japanese yen carry trade unwound, Bitcoin's fundamentals begin to predominate and outperform. Bitcoin performs well in risk-off events, risk-off environments. One of the last findings I have from this chart before we show you guys some bullish Bitcoin projections by BlackRock, and we have a look at their maths. We can see that they expect the US debt situation to get worse. Look at the ever-growing deficits in the orange of that line. They're slowly approaching World War II wartime deficits. That chart in the orange here is making lower highs and lower lows. The deficits keep getting worse as a percentage of GDP. BlackRock says Bitcoin is a hedge against that. It can be a reserve asset. Bitcoin is still a risky asset. BlackRock disagrees. None of the prior analysis negates the fact that Bitcoin on a standalone basis is still not very much a risky asset. It's an emerging technology in its adoption journey toward potentially becoming a global payment asset and store of value. Yes, Bitcoin has been volatile. Okay. A little bit of a caveat here from BlackRock, and it is subject to risks. However, the key point is that the risks are unique to Bitcoin and not specifically shared by other traditional investment assets. Bitcoin as such, is a particularly poignant, in studying why simple risk on versus risk off frameworks can lack the nuance to broadly be useful. Okay. So they're trying to say you need to throw out your old models of Bitcoin. They're trying to say Bitcoin is, they say, while Bitcoin has shown instances of short-term movements and correlations with equities and other risk assets, over the longer term, its fundamental drivers are starkly different and in many cases inverted versus most traditional investment assets. So they're telling you guys, this table right here, in the short term, in the 10 days after a crisis, things can be a little bit more mixed. Yes, Bitcoin is the best performing asset out of the S&P 500, gold, and Bitcoin after 10 days. But if you zoom out a little bit and you look out 60 days after a crisis, Bitcoin is unequivocally the best performing asset. And as BlackRock says, in the long term, they expect Bitcoin to continue to be traded with less correlations, and they expect it to continue to become more and more uncorrelated to traditional markets. It's a pretty bullish report, guys. And again, a big question I want to ask you guys before we go and crunch some numbers and have a look at some maths in some previous BlackRock reports. Why are they releasing this now? Lots of people are saying, look, Bitcoin's been trading sideways for 6 months. It's been making lower highs and lower lows. It's all over. Some people are saying the bear market has started. Some people are saying the bull market is over. Some people are saying a recession is coming. Some people are saying Jerome Powell just cut interest rates yesterday. We are for sure certain that a global recession is imminent and Bitcoin's going to crash. That's the consensus right now. Just ask yourself, why is BlackRock publishing a report like this now? Why now? Again, think about the timing. I always tell you guys, nobody knows where the price of Bitcoin is going in the short term. Nobody. Especially people with crazy haircut YouTube videos like myself. I have no idea. And I don't even believe that, you know, some of the most connected people in the world, they're not always 100% right. Except for Nancy Pelosi, she is. But again, what I'm trying to say is people like BlackRock, they might know a little bit more than us in regards to what's going on in the short term. Okay? Think about when they launched that BlackRock Bitcoin ETF. The initial filing went into motion in July 2023. At the time, Bitcoin was, let's say, around $25,000. The consensus at the time when Bitcoin was at $20,000 to $25,000 was that this was a bear market bounce. Bitcoin is going lower. There's a lot of very well-respected analysts on Twitter that I follow a lot. They were incredibly bearish, telling their tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers that Bitcoin was going to 12K, 9K. There was even some whispers and rumors of people with large followings saying there's blood in the water. These Wall Street gurus, they're going to try and liquidate Michael Saylor. They will try to push the price of Bitcoin to $3,000. Okay, there were the consensus in July 2023 when BlackRock launched their Bitcoin ETF was incredibly bearish. It's not debatable. That's the facts. That's reality. BlackRock was right. Since July 2023, the price of Bitcoin increased significantly. Let's put some numbers behind this so you guys can see what I'm talking about here, okay? Because I think charts are always interesting, okay? Charts are always good. Bitcoin's at $62,000, mind you, while we're looking at charts. It's interesting. So I'm going to put a couple of lines on the chart. I'm going to show you where BlackRock launched their Bitcoin ETF. They launched their filing here. It's around July, August 2023. Consensus was saying we're going to go lower. The Bitcoin ETF launched here. Bitcoin was around $40,000. Okay? So the filing came out here at 24,000. Most people thought Bitcoin was going to do this. Down to 12K, they said. Wrong. Bitcoin didn't go to 12K. It's had a very, very good performance, a really, really good pump. And again, we don't follow lines on charts here on the channel, but all I'm going to say is the consensus looks pretty bearish. Bitcoin maybe, just maybe, looks like it's breaking out here. It's just something I'm keeping an eye on. I did, you know, again, when the consensus is most bearish is when you want to be bullish. I want to show you guys this tweet I popped out this morning because the charts look pretty similar. I'm not going to lie. Bitcoin breaking out at $62,000. I said, did you miss your last chance to buy sub 60K? Why did I say that? Well, I quote tweeted a tweet that I put out in January 2023. This is the chart. This is Bitcoin at $17,000 in January 2023. I said, last chance to buy Bitcoin sub 17K. Looked like it was breaking out after a multi-year consolidation period. Go and read the comments. That tweet I put out in January 2023, I got absolutely roasted in the comments. You can see some people were even deleting their tweets because of how bad they looked, putting my feet to the fire. Pumped to 18K, then dumped to 10K. This was the consensus at the time, okay? Not BlackRock. BlackRock was bullish at the bottom. And they're bullish now. Okay, I'm not pumping my own tires. I just think it's interesting that, you know, we should be watching what the big boys are doing. Don't watch what I'm doing. I'm just whale watching. I'm just watching what the big guys are doing and what they're saying. Let's have a look at these two reports I've got for you guys. So the first is this one right here. BlackRock recommends an 84.9% allocation to Bitcoin. No, that is not a typo. That is correct. BlackRock released a secret report to their clients in early 2024. And this is what they said. They said some pretty bullish things about Bitcoin. They said some incredibly bullish things about Bitcoin. That what they did in this report was they actually looked back at the past 15 years of data, okay? And again, BlackRock is data driven. They're not just putting their finger up to the wind and saying, yeah, what do we think's going to happen? They might have done that with ESG. They weren't very data driven with that ESG policy, were they? But with Bitcoin, they have been a little bit more data driven. Maybe, just maybe, they've learned from their mistake. We can see. This is a tweet that I wrote at the time. And we're going to be crunching some numbers. Yes, we're going to be looking at this chart here because there's some fascinating numbers. But we can see in 2022, BlackRock secretly published a research paper where they said the optimal portfolio allocation for the past 15 years has been 85% Bitcoin, 9% stocks, 6% bonds. And I said in this tweet, let's run some quick maths. What would happen, hypothetically, if the entire world wanted to rebalance their portfolios into what BlackRock is saying has been optimal? Now, again, this was a private report and it got leaked to the public after some months. In 2022, when Bitcoin was crashing, when it was on the way to $15,000 and death, BlackRock was publishing reports like this. This is why I continue to make the claim that I really strongly believe everything we've seen post 2020 has been a concerted attempt by the rich people like BlackRock to suppress the price of Bitcoin and allow Wall Street to fill their bags full of Bitcoin. Sounds crazy. Sounds really tinfoil hat kind of stuff. But just look at what we've seen in the past 4 years. We've seen BlackRock, we've seen Morgan Stanley recently allow their 15,000 clients to begin recommending Bitcoin to their customers. We've seen Goldman Sachs, Millennial Management, all of these large companies go balls deep into Bitcoin. What is it? 15 of the top 25 hedge funds in the world are now exposed to Bitcoin? Think about that for a minute. 15 of the top 25. They're pretty well connected, if you ask me. 25 largest hedge funds in the world. We've got US pension funds actively buying Bitcoin. The state of Wisconsin buying Bitcoin. So again, I really do believe everything we saw in 2021 and 2022 was a pre-coordinated attack to suppress Bitcoin's price, keep it cheap, and allow the big boys to buy it up. Bitcoin rallied from 10K to 60K in literally like 90 days at the end of 2020 and early 2021. It ran away from Wall Street. It's a quick rally, 10K to 60K in a matter of a couple of months. Then we saw China come out and ban Bitcoin mining. At the same time, we saw Elon Musk in America say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to stop accepting Bitcoin for payment for cars at Tesla. I'm not going to sell any of my Bitcoin now. I love Bitcoin. But publicly, I'm going to create the narrative and the perception that Bitcoin is bad for the environment, and I will not accept it until more than 50% of Bitcoin's energy use comes from renewable sources. And he still hasn't come out and said he was wrong about that either. He still hasn't come out and said, okay, more than 50% of Bitcoin's energy usage does come from renewable energy, which is what the Bitcoin Mining Council, headed by Michael Saylor, has repeatedly shown for the past 2 years. Why has Elon not flipped publicly yet? Still holds Bitcoin on the balance sheet for SpaceX and Tesla. Okay, and also think about Sam Bankman-Fried, one of the biggest donors to the Democratic Party. Very well-connected man. Didn't he have... I believe he did. He was actively suppressing the price of Bitcoin. He was supposed to be sitting on 80,000 coins. He wasn't. Okay, so again, I really do think that BlackRock releasing this report in 2022 is the signal. Now, what happens if the entire world wanted to rebalance to that 85% Bitcoin allocation? Well, there's $800 trillion in the world for Bitcoin. That represents $680 trillion of hypothetical demand. Very important words here, guys. Everybody does their Bitcoin maths wrong, because they forget this part of the equation. Considering we use a conservative 4.5x Bitcoin multiplier effect, you're looking at a market cap of $3 quadrillion of Bitcoin, which equals a $145.71 million Bitcoin price tag in today's dollars before hyperinflation. No hyperinflation. This only assumes that the entire world rebalances to what BlackRock has said is the optimal allocation for Bitcoin over the past 10 years. Again, hypothetical world. Again, I understand none of these numbers are perfect. Yes, I understand if you try to pull $350 trillion out of the real estate market, you're not going to get $300 trillion of liquidity. I understand that. I get it. But again, we only used an average multiplier effect for that data. We used a 4.5x multiplier effect. If the world tries to rebalance to an 85% Bitcoin allocation, that multiplier effect is going much, much higher. Much higher. More of the coins are going to be illiquid. As simple as that. But again, that's a little bit of fun maths showing you why we could be looking at a $146 million Bitcoin price tag if the world were able to rebalance to BlackRock's optimal portfolio allocation, okay? Obviously, the world would look very different if we had a $150 million Bitcoin price. This is why I always tell you guys, again, what are the odds of Bitcoin going to $150 million? The odds of that happening in the next 2 years, probably low. Don't get me wrong. The next 5 years, probably still low. The next 10 years, maybe it's 5%. Maybe it's 10%. Do your own probabilities at home, but at least make sure you're prepared for every situation. This is why I always tell you guys, if you don't have your Bitcoin private keys on hardware wallets, back your Bitcoin private keys up on hardware wallets, okay? We just ran the maths looking at one of BlackRock's reports where they showed you Bitcoin could be $146 million per coin. We're about to look at another report in a moment that is also incredibly bullish. We're going to be analyzing the maths of one of BlackRock's quants. Now, again, a lot of people think the Bitcoin's just going to be a digital gold. It's just going to be worth $500,000 a coin, maybe $1 million a coin. And that's why they're complacent. That's why people aren't actively, hands over fist, going out there and trying to spend the couple of hours learning how to use a hardware wallet. They're complacent. Saying, you know, my $5,000 worth of Bitcoin won't be worth that much. Might be worth 100K in the future. I'm comfortable having a little bit of my money on in a BlackRock ETF or controlled by Coinbase. I don't care. I'm not taking full responsibility. Again, I'm just trying to encourage you guys. These are two separate reports coming from BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager. We have quants from BlackRock telling you there's a good chance Bitcoin could be worth a lot more money in the future, much higher than most people believe. So again, I always encourage you guys, get some hardware wallets. You know, get 5% off a BitBox hardware wallet with a promo code Luke5 if you want one. I don't have a promo code for cold cards. I just think they're great. Go and get one if you're an advanced user. They're brilliant. Okay? While you're backing up your Bitcoin and taking your security more seriously, if you buy a hardware wallet, please, for the love of God, do not, and I repeat, do not write down your backup words on one of these. This is a piece of paper. These kinds of pieces of paper come with most hardware wallets. Most people think they're safe with their 12 or 24 words on one of these puppies. I'm telling you, you're not. Paper burns in a fire. Paper melts in a flood. Is melt the right word? What happens to paper in water? Disintegrates? I don't know, but you don't want to find out. As simple as that, okay? You want your Bitcoin backup words written down on one of these right here. That's a titanium plate made for Bitcoin self-storage. You should go and get a titanium plate and back up your Bitcoin the way it should be backed up, okay? Stampseed is an incredible company. As you can see from their snazzy little website, these plates survive fire. They survive acid. They survive absolutely anything life throws at them, okay? Go and get yourself one of these stamp kits. You can see these things are pretty sturdy. They're going to survive anything life throws at them. You can get 15% off anything you want to buy from Stampseed. with that promo code Luke15. We'll get you 15% off. Big discount. Go take advantage of it now before the price of Bitcoin is worth many multiples more than what it's worth today, because it will be worth a lot more in the future than it is today. Not financial advice. We're not talking about financial advice. We're simply looking at what BlackRock is saying. So I have a third report I want to get into about BlackRock. A very interesting conversation about BlackRock and why one of their quants recommended a 28% allocation to Bitcoin is not unreasonable. We're going to get into that in a moment. I want to have a quick look at the comment section. Seed signers are also great. I've never personally played around with a seed signer, but they're a very cheap alternative for a hardware wallet. From my understanding, you have to do a little bit of tinkering, a little bit of building and playing around. That's why I just recommend people just to go get a BitBox. Most people kind of adjacent to Bitcoin, they don't want to play around and mess around. Okay, they just want a simple 2-minute solution. That's what I think BitBox is. That's also why I recommend the Stampseed product. It's just super easy. Like, you can literally line up the words here in this little template that you have from Stampseed. They do everything for you. They give you like a stamping kit with 26 letters on it. You literally just line these puppies up in the holes and you just tap it away with a little tiny hammer. Super easy, okay? I'm a fan of really easy to use products. Only Bitcoin only products, by the way. You'll never see me shilling any crypto trash here on the channel. Okay, we have some more interesting data here. John is a futures trader, and he's saying the volume of buying at $55,000 was astonishing. He loaded up down there. It's also what we've seen, guys, here on the channel. Every single time Bitcoin dips below 60K, the ETFs buy Bitcoin big time. Mr. 100 always loads up the truck. Whales are buying more and more Bitcoin. Here's an interesting rabbit hole. I think Sailor is working with BlackRock. If we just follow what they are doing, we'll all make a ton of money. I wonder if I can share that. Let me think about it for a moment. It's a live stream. Yeah, okay, I can share that. I was having a dinner with British HODL recently. At a certain time, we were in the same country. Again, I'm not going to tell you when it happened. But he said he believes, just his opinion, maybe in the future, Michael Saylor's Bitcoin holdings will be in IBIT. Just an interesting thought that came up after you asked that question. Kristen, or I believe it's Kristen. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm sorry if I didn't. Good morning, Bitcoiners. This is a brilliant comment. CB here says, the best allocation should be 84.9% Bitcoin and 15.1% MicroStrategy. I love that. That's brilliant. All right, let's talk about BlackRock's third report. Before I get derailed, you guys know I'm guilty for going on a tangent every now and then. This is BlackRock's third report on Bitcoin. Let's take a look at it. BlackRock calling for a 28% allocation to Bitcoin. Pretty big. We now have multiple data points showing you guys that we have people inside of BlackRock talking about ridiculous allocations. 28% is a lot bigger than a lot of people might have on this stream today. I'd be interested. Again, I know I'm not interested. Don't tell me what your allocation to Bitcoin is. I don't want to know. Don't tell anyone how much Bitcoin you own. There's a little rule of thumb for you guys. Just think amongst yourselves. Do I have an allocation larger than what a BlackRock quant is recommending me? Thought experiment. You can do that on your own time. But we can see here, BlackRock, the world's largest asset manager, has allegedly recommended a 28% allocation to Bitcoin. The figure emerged from a recent private client event hosted by BlackRock. Look at the words there. I'm going to zoom that up. Look at it. That 28% figure emerged from a recent private client event hosted by BlackRock, obviously focused on promoting their Bitcoin ETF, IBIT. Pretty bold. Very bold. Now, I've once again ran the numbers here for you guys. You guys know I'm a little bit of a sucker for running numbers, diving beneath the hood, so to say. And, you know, having a look at things in a little bit of a different way. I like to do that on the channel. I'm a little bit of a nerd. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but I studied maths at university. It's why I do love a little bit of maths. I'm not good at it. You guys know that from my quick back of the napkin maths calculations here on the live streams. I have to look at things differently. The story, and the story we're telling today is that BlackRock has been very interested in Bitcoin a very long time. This 9-page report they just released yesterday, maybe it was Tuesday this week. It's not just a one-off, okay? BlackRock has been saying some very bullish things to their clients for multiple years now, in private and in public. We can see here, I wanted to run the numbers here. I said BlackRock held a closed-door meeting for their top clients last month where they said a 28% allocation to Bitcoin was optimal or not unreasonable. I believe that was the exact words. What would happen if the entire world rebalanced their portfolios to match what a maths quant suggests? So again, this isn't just, you know, tinfoil hat Luke Mikic with a crazy haircut from Australia talking trash online. No. These numbers are coming from BlackRock, a maths quant at the world's largest asset manager. That's where these numbers are coming from. I want to make that very clear. This isn't just me talking trash, although I do talk some trash here on YouTube from time to time. We're talking about BlackRock, okay? Well, you can see the maths that I ran here. You got $900 trillion of assets, 28% allocation equals $252 trillion of hypothetical demand. Don't forget the multiplier effect. Let's use a conservative 4x multiplier effect on that $252 trillion of hypothetical demand. You're looking at a $48 million Bitcoin. That's the maths. Pretty bullish, don't you think? Incredibly bullish, if you ask me. Okay, so BlackRock's made it very clear. They're incredibly bullish on Bitcoin. That's the maths behind BlackRock's allocations. And sometimes we just need to pinch ourselves and remember how far we've come. This was Larry Fink in 2017 talking about Bitcoin. I want to play this video and see what you guys notice about this video. If we have ads, we're going to persevere. And we're going to brace ourselves for what I thought was one of the most funny Bitcoin backflips in history. To give you guys some more context, I'll show you guys the original quote. 2017. Bitcoin is only used by criminals for money laundering. We see zero demand for it from our clients. That's big old Larry in 2017. 2024? Larry sounds a little bit different today in 2024. Let's listen to Larry.
In willing to embrace crypto, you have made it so that people can be in Bitcoin. We hear that you are thinking about Ethereum. These are incredible things. How by any means. So you obviously must believe that this maybe is an alternative. Is this an alternative in order to be able, because of a deficit, maybe something long term people should have?
Absolutely. As you know, I was a skeptic.
Yes.
I was a proud skeptic. And I studied it. And I came away saying, okay, you know, my opinion 5 years ago was wrong. Here's my opinion today. This is what I believe in today. I believe the opportunity today. I believe Bitcoin is legitimate. I'm not trying to say there's not misuses like everything else, but it is a legitimate financial instrument that allows you to have maybe uncorrelated, non-correlated type of returns. I believe it is an instrument that you invest in when you're more frightened, though. It is an instrument when you believe that countries are debasing their currency, debasing their currency by excess deficits. Countries are. I believe we have countries where you're frightened of your everyday existence and have an opportunity to invest in something that is outside your country's control, then you can have more financial control. And so I'm a major believer that there is a role for Bitcoin in portfolios. I believe you're going to see that as one of the asset classes that we all look at. I look at it as digital gold, as I said before, and I do believe there's a real need for everyone to look at it as one alternative to, I would say, the optimism that I have in the world. If you want to hedge hope, Bitcoin is not an instrument for hope, unless you're hopeful you're going to make a lot of money on it. But I look at it as a vehicle in which you're expressing your financial act. You're frightened of the world. You're more frightened of your existence. And I believe there's a great industrial use for it. And I think a lot of people are missing that.
I couldn't agree more. I changed my mind about it when you did. You went ahead of my thinking. It was like, you don't believe it. So I can't believe it. I want to thank Larry Fink for the message of optimism.
Bitcoin is optimism. Bitcoin is a hedge for hope. Bitcoin is a legitimate asset class. Bitcoin is digital gold. That's what Larry thinks. That's what he thinks in 2024 after calling Bitcoin an index for money laundering. And we have no demand from clients to offer Bitcoin products. If we now have the world's largest asset manager, not only posting 9-page reports saying Bitcoin is a risk-off asset, but also having quants from inside the firm suggesting that an 84.9% allocation to Bitcoin has been optimal, and a separate quant come out and say in a private closed-door meeting that a 28% allocation to Bitcoin is not unreasonable. Just ask yourself, what happens when the rest of the world does a Bitcoin backflip? All your models will be destroyed. I don't think there's any debate about that. Let's see if there's a debate in the comments section. Robert says he's got a $173 allocation to cash. Can I sleep on your couch? Can somebody find Robert a place to live? Producer Pam says it well. Come to Medellin. It's incredibly cheap here. Good. Good. One of our favorites here on the channel, All Night Hider, says he won't disclose his holdings. Never disclose your Bitcoin holdings to anyone, especially BlackRock. But he's got about a 60% allocation. I haven't seen this report from Germany about their banks and Bitcoin. I do want to check it out. Not used a seed signer yet, my friend Robert. Thank you, Yerba. Too bad you don't. The power law into account. It's true. A lot of people say, Luke, why don't you love the power law? You're a Bitcoin bull. I am a Bitcoin bull. I'm incredibly bullish. I'm so bullish that I think the power law gets blown out of the water. It's not a popular opinion to be anti-power law. I understand that. Just calling them as I'm seeing them, honestly. I mean, it'd be a great move for me to just say, hey, look, I'm super bullish. Power law says Bitcoin goes to $1.2 million by 2033. A lot of people just ride in that wave, using it for engagement, even if they don't believe in it. I know many people who do that publicly, big names, you would know them. But no, I don't believe the power law. Just calling them as I'm seeing them. I'll continue doing that. Comment section is lively. I apologize. I can't get to all of them. If you do, actually, speaking of comment section and live streams, I am this week beginning weekly Q&As in my school community. Again, they're free Q&As. Come and join them. We're going to be talking about all forms of sovereignty, not only Bitcoin and financial sovereignty. We're going to be talking about geographical sovereignty. How do you get the best tax treatment globally? How do you live in the best countries that, you know, you can structure your finances from for a business? Already, we're back. I think I cut off there for a bit. I'm back. The internet's a bit shitty. I was telling you guys, check out the school community. Linked down below in the chat as well as the live chat. Will, Mike, you should be joining our weekly Q&A calls in the school community. Three citizenships is the way to go. Oh, well, 3 Bitcoin is how much you need to move to El Salvador. You can buy the $1 million freedom visa. That's what they're calling it. The $1 million passport for $1 million. That way you can get the passport super quick. It's a lot of Bitcoin. 12, 13 Bitcoin off the top of my head. Forgive my quick maths. And again, I also wanted to tell you guys, if you enjoyed today's ranting and raving, well, maybe I should frame that differently. If you don't like my ranting and raving, more recently, we've been turning all of these live streams into short, digestible, 5-minute reads that are delivered to your inbox every second day or so. I've got a free Substack, so feel free to join up to that. I'll get producer Pam to put that somewhere in the live chat for you guys. It's also linked in the description of the video here. I know sometimes a lot of you guys don't get notified when my videos go live. So I thought, hey, why not start condensing those into a little bit of a shorter piece of content for you guys? We don't normally have the live streams go for 45 minutes like they did today, okay? So if you want these puppies condensed down into a 5-minute read, as you can see, Substack is linked in the description. Welcome, McLovin. Robin is replaying the video. So again, if you're joining late, if you're one of the 838 of you guys on this video, whether you're on Twitter, Rumble, YouTube, you can replay this puppy, start it from the beginning. So my deranged Australian rants on BlackRock make a little bit more sense. Okay, with all that said, guys, I might end this live stream here. The final thing I probably need to deliver is that if Bitcoin is worth $48 million in this bearish Bitcoin projection by BlackRock's maths quant, that means that if you hold 0.1 Bitcoin, that's worth $4.8 million. So that is where I'm claiming that that could make you rich. It's only worth $6,200-ish dollars today. Could make you rich, okay? If you want to get really wonky and really crazy and go bananas on it, and if you believe that BlackRock's 84.9% allocation to Bitcoin is a possibility, again, assign your own probabilities to these events. But if Bitcoin's worth $146 million, if the entire world were to rebalance to that 85% allocation to Bitcoin, your 0.1 Bitcoin would be worth $14.6 million. Again, today, that's a $6,200 investment. And all these projections are in today's dollars. I'm not assuming any hyperinflation. I'm not assuming a loaf of bread costs $25. No. Today's dollars. So again, BlackRock, that is why I believe BlackRock is telling you guys that 0.1 Bitcoin could make you rich. You need to read between the lines a little bit, play around with some maths calculations. Again, you're welcome to run your own numbers. But I think what we're watching is something incredibly bullish. I'm going to be loud and proud on the record that I don't think Bitcoin has topped for 2024. And I think what we're watching is the same thing we saw in 2020, 2013. The past 6 months of consolidation has just been that consolidation. Could be wrong, but I expect Bitcoin to be a lot higher in 2025. Not financial advice. Don't leverage your Bitcoin. Simply buy, stack, chill, as my Australian friend Sean would say. Shout out to Sean from G'day Bitcoin. With all that said, guys, have a great weekend. All Night Hard is clocked off for the week. It's Thursday. You're going to be seeing me before the weekend. Enjoy the rest of your day. Go and buy some Bitcoin. And go and back up your Bitcoin as if it's worth $146 million. It's time for you guys to back up your 0.1 Bitcoin. Take advantage of that 15% discount I can get you guys from Stampseed. That promo code is Luke15. It's in the chat multiple times. I know it is. There it is. It's in the chat. Check it out. And with all that said, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. I'll see you guys in a live stream maybe later today. Definitely